you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good Friday morning to you, my friend. Oh, it is a good day indeed. The fourth day of December. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm glad to be along with you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every single day, here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And it's a pretty special day for a few people that I happen to know. I want to say happy birthday to Amy Ryan Corser, Kristen Robinson, Vicki Edmondson, and Kristen Ness. And for you all this morning, I'm going to play you a little song.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Well, happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Man, there's so much we can do on your birthday. I'm so glad it's your birthday, baby. Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for tuning in. Bye-bye.
A little Elvis this morning wishing you a happy birthday, and that's especially going out to my friend Amy Ryan Corser. Happy birthday, and so excited to share in your birthday today. And it's an interesting morning for us today, and I'm excited about this show today because anybody that's been listening in since I began in March here at the studio, you know that how much I appreciate people and treasure people and treasure you, our listeners, and how important you are. You are created in the image of God in my belief system, and you have value. And you have value not because of what you do, but because of who you are. And I'm telling you, to celebrate life, to come alongside of you, to protect life, that is the theme of my life and my legacy. When people look back and when I'm gone someday, I want them to say, she was in the trenches fighting and protecting life from a conception to natural death. And so this show is very special to me today because we're going to talk about protecting life and protecting the unborn and the value of life. And in 2012, I had an opportunity to go to the March for Life in D.C., where thousands of people from all across the country come together and we march, and it's super duper cold. Oh my goodness, in D.C., you're bundled up in layers and you walk for miles. And this year was a phenomenal year for the March for Life for several reasons. One, Franklin Graham, for the very first time, put on his tennis shoes and marched as well. And so I want to play this clip from that.
Well, every year, the March for Life draws huge crowds, including well-known names in the pro-life movement like the Reverend Franklin Graham.
And CBN's White House correspondent Ben Kennedy caught up with him as he laced up his shoes. Ben?
Yeah, Jenna, John Graham had his sneakers on in March for the first time at this event. In fact, he told me this is his first time marching for pretty much anything, saying, let the courts, Congress, and media and the world know that we believe how important the lives of these children are. Take a listen.
And so I'm here today just with hundreds of thousands of other people, just to be part of the voice and to march with them. So
what does it mean to have the first sitting president attend this event?
Well, first of all, it's huge to have the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, to be here, especially after Christianity Today said that he should be impeached. Really? Only president to ever come out and stand for life.
Now, Graham was joined by his daughter, who walked alongside of him. But bottom line, Graham said he just wants people to know that life is precious and we need to protect it.
Amen. And life is precious, and we do need to protect it. And everything that we can do, with every ounce that we are, we need to stand with those that are in the trenches, on the front lines, working with the women and men who are facing a decision. And it's interesting, having been back now in Oregon for about a year now, it's interesting for me to be here because back in high school, and I even remember in middle school, first time even knowing someone who is contemplating abortion, and just walking through some of those things and how I couldn't wrap my mind around it. And then going through high school and having Planned Parenthood coming into our high school at Sprague High School teaching sex education and teaching abortion as a form of birth control, and even thinking something isn't right here, even back then in the 80s. And all of these years progressing, even with my continuance of college and working in ministry, working in radio, working in social services, and then for many years working in the pregnancy center movement and the pro-life movement, it's continually an awareness and awakening. And it really is a heart condition in Oregon to really help people understand the issue of protecting life. And we hear the talking points, and it's not unlike what we're hearing right now in the media, and how the media controls the message in regards to the mask mandate and COVID-19, and how we're being targeted and told what to believe. That's what's been happening since the 70s on the whole life issue. We have been managed and given talking points, and it's your body, your choice, and all of those kinds of things. And we just kind of just say them and start believing them because we've heard it enough. And I say, no, we got to stand strong. We got to protect life. And if you don't think that this election and the results of this election have anything to do with life, I don't know where you have been. Because even that, the Amy Coney Barrett and her appointment to the Supreme Court, they wanted to know where she was at on the life issue. And so everything about what we're doing and experiencing right now in the news media is about life. And I think it's so insincere. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's insincere for them to be so concerned about all these people who might get COVID, and yet the most vulnerable in the womb isn't protected. I have a problem with that. I don't know about you, but I know that we're at a crossroads. And I know we've said this before. And when I came back to Oregon in January, in fact, there was a wonderful March for Life at the Capitol. And I had only been here like, I don't know, 5 days or so. And Terry had first started working at Harley-Davidson. I thought, I'm going to participate in this rally. I'm going to show up. And I did. And I was like in the second row. I ended up being the front page of the Statesman Journal. And there I was. And all my friends from around the country was like, that doesn't surprise me. There she is, you know. And it was that experience that led me to meeting the wonderful owners here of the radio station. And long story short, here I am. So I'm going to continue to sing the song of protecting life and standing for the unborn and continuing to do what we can do to bring the resources to the men and women that are contemplating and think that that's the only decision that they can make is to abort their unborn child. Because, you know, there's, as Abby Johnson has said, if you know who Abby Johnson is, they used to tell them this might be the best thing you can do for your future family. That's how they would sell abortions. Oh, it's frustrating to me, and it's such a lie, and there's so much deception. And I realize, an audience, you're probably listening to me today going, you know, I disagree with you, Stacey. I think it is a woman's body and their choice. I disagree with you. And I encourage you not to tune out today. I encourage you to keep listening in, because I think there's some things that could stir. And I agree, even with the most staunch pro-choice person, I've been in those committee meetings in South Dakota, and I've been face to face with pro-choice people. And when they hear me talk about the compassion that I have for the woman walking through that, particularly the woman or the man who's lost a child to abortion, most of them recognize the compassion within me, even if we disagree on the issue, full of compassion. And if you are someone who has lost a child to abortion at some particular point in your life, or a grandchild, or you took a girlfriend in high school and had really no idea because you bought the lie that it's just a blob of tissue, that was an event that happened, and there's forgiveness, and there's freedom, and there's healing. And so when we talk about this morning, it's not in a way of condemnation. It's a way of freedom and revelation, and certainly wanting you to be aware that there's help out there as well. And so in our effort to engage, educate, empower, and encourage, I went on a little expedition here in the Salem area, and I am looking for those on the front lines who are working on the life issue. And we've had on the air before, early on, the folks that have the Hope Pregnancy Center and that are doing the great work there. We've had 40 Days of Life here. We've had the people doing the sidewalk counseling. We are a really amazing community We really are. And there are people behind the scenes. In fact, next Tuesday at Planned Parenthood, they're going to have church at Planned Parenthood. They're going to have a worship service on the sidewalk. And they're going to, again, proclaim and say that, you know, not in our city, not in our state, and really pray for that abortion would end in our community. And so we'll get you more details as we move closer to that. But this morning, I have in the studio, and I'm really excited to meet her. Her name is Terry. Good morning, Terry. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning. It's so great to be here.
It's such a great day, and I'm delighted to meet you. And I have to share with the listeners about your organization that you work with, Birthright. It's a precious organization that has been around for many, many years in the trenches. And my daughter, when she was in college in Minnesota, she volunteered at a Birthright, and I had a dear friend who managed a Birthright in the same city when I was working at a pregnancy center, managing a pregnancy center. So I'm glad that you're here to tell your story and talk to us a little bit in the time we have left in this segment. How long has Birthright been here in Salem?
Well, Birthright originally, just to back up a little bit, was founded 52 years ago, before the 70s, in 1968, the very first pregnancy center. And we've been in Salem for 38 years, since 1982.
Fantastic. And it's interesting because in the history of Oregon, my understanding is even before the Supreme Court ruled it legal across the United States, there was access to abortion here.
Yes.
And what do you know about that?
Well, there was access, and that's why Birthright was founded, was because there weren't really alternatives. But it was starting to become, rather than being immoral and illegal, it was starting to become a little bit accepted. Mm-hmm. And our founder founded it in Toronto, Canada, actually. Mm-hmm. We started in Canada. But that's why, before Roe versus Wade, the need was already there. And that's why the people's hearts were just wanting to do something to help. And Birthright was the very first pregnancy center. So it just took off.
That's awesome. And there are several across the United States. Can you give me a number? How many Birthrights?
Oh, there's a couple hundred.
I love it. And I know in South Dakota and in Minnesota, that's in the smaller communities particularly. Now, Birthright, talk to me about the kinds of services that you do.
Well, we focus on the woman coming in the door who may or may not be pregnant, but she might need a pregnancy test. So we offer the free pregnancy test, and just the most important thing is to be there to listen and hear her story and to give her support and find out what her needs are. So then we can kind of help plug her into whatever those needs may be. But we also offer layettes for babies and maternity clothes and clothing for children, little toddlers.
That's incredible. And the statistics continue to show that the women that's in that quote-unquote crisis or don't know what to do, if they're given the opportunity to know what the resources and the help is, they'll make a good choice. I've watched it. It's pretty incredible. So we're going to continue the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Want to thank our show sponsor today, Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency, 503-885-0789. And I don't know about you, this is that time of year where you're renewing your insurance and folks are looking at the rates. And if you want a comparison, I'm encouraging you to get a hold of Bill. He'll do a complimentary evaluation of your insurance needs and also for financial planning, too. He'll be there for you. Go to SunderlandAgency.com. Continuing the conversation this morning with Terry as we talk about life and the opportunity of Birthright here in Salem, which is a part of a national organization which was founded in Canada. And for friends, if you have ever been involved or know anybody that has experienced an unplanned pregnancy, you know that can be totally upend whether it be in college, it's just not usually what people are expecting at the time, but it does happen. And in fact, I would say most pregnancies and my pregnancy certainly were not planned particularly at that time, but I was so thankful for all of them. And so even the word plan, when we talk about messaging and we talk about words and the power of words and how we are being fed things to think, right? The group think. And we talk about, we hear the saying, your body, your choice. And the reality is when a baby is conceived, there's a whole unique living separate individual. And it's just the difference between that baby at conception and you and I is time, maturation, because everything is there. And that science backs it up. It is not a blob of tissue. And what I have found when I've had an opportunity in those moments of crisis to sit down with the woman and the man and show them the facts and get through the fears and the emotion of the situation and the unexpectedness of you're pregnant, boy, that, and start talking about options and what's out there, it becomes real. And then there's a plan developed, and then they're empowered. And whether they place make an adoption plan and place the baby for adoption or continue on with parenting, and to have a place like Birthright that comes around these parents and says, hey, you can do this. That's pretty neat. So you were talking, Terry, about the kinds of things that you offer and the kinds of services that you offer. Or even layettes when the baby's born. That's incredible. About how many women do you see in a year, like last year?
We had about 450 people coming in the door last year.
Incredible.
And I love to have somebody come in the door. Mm-hmm. I just love it. It's been a tricky year, obviously, mm-hmm. and we've had to be very careful about not having so many in the office at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so exciting when someone walks in the door. I just love it. And we can just open up our conversation and see where they are and listen to their story. And sometimes they need a pregnancy test, and sometimes they just need someone to talk to, and sometimes they need some practical things, clothing and the things that we can offer, diapers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so happy to hear their story and to give them some hope in whatever situation they're in life.
Yes, and that really is the key, is just kind of advocating with them and telling them that they can do this. Now, 38 years here in this community, have you had an opportunity to have people come back and say, this is my teenager, or I was saved through Birthright and I want to get involved? Have you had those stories?
We absolutely have. We've had some second generation moms in who they were little babies when their mom came to Birthright. And I've been part of this for the whole time. So I've been able to see some of these families and people come in. We had someone one time who one of our volunteers had not known what happened after she did the pregnancy test. And it was a very challenging situation for this young mom. And we don't always know the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, when she left, our volunteer just said, well, you know, we pray for her and we don't always know what happened. Well, later on, one day, she was giving out candy at Halloween, and this mom came up and said, do you remember me? And she said, oh, yes. And is this? And the little girl getting the candy was this child that our volunteer had not known if she had her or not.
Incredible.
And she was so thrilled. So
yes.
Thrilled that,
and
she had her.
That is the exciting part of this. And I remember having a vision shortly after I started working at the pregnancy center years and years ago, having a vision of the children growing up and being doctors and firemen and policemen and in the military and nurses and coming back, you know, and thanking me for, you know, fighting the good fight, keeping the place funded, you know, and all of the things.
Yes.
That behind the scenes, I didn't get to work directly oftentimes with the women coming in and the men coming in, but I was making sure it was in operation, right? And
yes.
And just having that reward, knowing that lives are impacted, generations and legacies impacted, because friends, when a child is lost to abortion, And that whole, it's gone. That legacy is gone. And what we don't understand oftentimes is in when we continue to use the talking points, their body, their choice, is the harm that really happens to the mother. It might bring initial relief having the abortion. And I've worked for many years in the healing side of abortion loss and helping women get restored and healed. I'm a trained facilitator in abortion recovery. And many of the women, I don't know one woman that has ever told me she was thankful she had her abortion, that it saved her life by having the abortion. It's been the other. Many have dealt with all kinds of, from chemical addiction to self-harming to bad marriages to even bad parenting because of the abortion loss in their life. And so it's important that we get healing and that people get restoration. And it's an event that happened. If people have experienced that, it's not who they are. And there are help. There's help out there. When someone reports to you that they have had an abortion and they're wanting help and they come back to Birthright, like, I need help, where do you refer them to get some help with their abortion loss?
Yeah, it does happen. And a lot of times we are dealing with another pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But and many times you can just look in someone's eyes. Mm-hmm. If you say, have you been pregnant before?
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell a lot just by their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're focusing on this new pregnancy, if they need help, it's like Save One Ministries is wonderful.
Yes.
Project Rachel is wonderful. So
yes.
We do have resources.
Yes, and great references and wonderful trained facilitators that walk people through those experiences and helps them so that they can be great parents and have great relationships in the future. We're continuing the conversation this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. We'll be back after this.
Hey, yeah, you. Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. Stacey Ann hanging out with you on this Friday. Yes, TGIF. Thanking God it's Friday and looking at our weather forecast, 30 degrees right now at the KSLM studios. Going to warm up to about 50 today. Looks like all sunshine, which is nice. I see that sun and I want to go for a walk. How about you? And a little rain expected tomorrow and then sunny, partly cloudy on Sunday, about 53 degrees. And I'm peeking ahead again. My Terry says, you know, we can only count on a couple days ahead in the weather, him being a weatherman and all. But it looks like we have that partly cloudy rain expected kind of here and there throughout the next week. So we can plan accordingly. And of course, this morning we were scraping the windshields again because it's cool overnight. It's going to be 29 degrees tonight overnight. And so that's our weather forecast at 7:36. And we're continuing the conversation in regards to life and how precious it is and how important it is to protect it from conception to natural death, standing strong and being a champion for life is so very important. And when we talk about the issue of abortion and what it really boils down to, it's something very, something that I want to talk to you about a little bit as a listener. You know, when a family decides to place a child for adoption and they decide that they cannot parent the child for whatever reason going on in their life, maybe they're a college student, maybe they already have two or three and they're walking through in a divorce and the finances are tight. There's various reasons. In fact, in my life, my oldest sister, my dad and his girlfriend at the time, they were in high school and they placed their, this was in the 60s, they placed their child for adoption. My oldest sister, I didn't know until the 30s. I was in my 30s to find out I had a half sister that had been adopted out. And that was in South Dakota. And that was a time where abortion, quote unquote, wasn't legalized, although abortion was taking place illegally in the state of South Dakota. And so adoption is a viable option for those that are looking at an unplanned pregnancy. And it really is when you go to place a child for adoption, and if you're a parent who's adopted a child, I've adopted a child, what happens is there's a termination of rights legally that has to happen in the court system. they have to say, I am terminating my rights to that relationship with that child, right? So abortion it terminates that right forever, right? And so doesn't it make sense that informed consent, when a parent is looking at potentially having an abortion, that they be informed about that right, and that that would be permanently gone, you know, and that when they're having an abortion, this abortion is killing a whole unique, living, separate individual, right, in the womb. And that by having that abortion, there's going to be increase, and this is proven statistically, increased thoughts of suicide and suicide ideation. And all of this is proven by research. All of it is proven by scientific fact that you have a whole unique, living, separate human individual at conception. These are the facts. And you can dispute it, but they're the facts. And so really when it comes down to the abortion issue, the damage we perceive that the Roe decision has caused to the intrinsic rights of children and their mothers and to their persons is too grave and too vast, and the error of the court too plain for us not to act on behalf of those we serve. The injustice to the child whose life is terminated by an abortion has long been easily perceived and readily understood by most. The injustice to their mothers and the harms to the rights, interests, and health of the mothers has only more recently become more apparent and only now widely appreciated. And this is coming from a concurrent resolution out of South Dakota that we actually delivered up to the Supreme Court in 2015. I had an honor of being a part of that. And it really is about the mother's a conflict. When someone is looking at their unplanned pregnancy and they're looking to walk forward and a parent or place for adoption or to terminate the life of that child, it really is a struggle because as God has intended in my worldview, my biblical worldview, God has designed all of us, and as mothers, as women, designed us, everything within us, to protect that child. And so to have an abortion goes against everything we've been designed to do to protect that child. And from that day on forward, when they've lost a child to abortion, it's a conflict and it's trauma. And so we have wonderful organizations in our very own community and all over the state, all over the country, that stand in the gap to say to these women, we're here with you. This is something that will walk beside you. We'll help you find resources. You can do this. And that's what I love about the story of Birthright. And here in Oregon, friends, you need to know, by legislation and by your state laws and rules, there is not protection for the unborn in this state. In fact, do you know that even if a woman today was harmed in a car accident and lost the baby, maybe both of them were lost, there is no laws identifying that child in the womb as a second individual killed in that car accident. That just baffles my mind. I think we need to work on that legislatively. Even if we had a statewide initiative recognizing that child in the womb loss in whether it be domestic violence, whether it be a car accident or whatever, it's a whole unique separate individual that needs protection as much as the mother does. So when you have Birthright and in our community, we need to get behind them. We need to support them. What are ways, I got Terry in the studio with me, what are ways, Terry, that we can support your organization here in Salem?
Well, we are an all-volunteer organization, mm-hmm. and we always have been, and we always will be, and volunteers are the key. We have three-hour commitments once a week, and we have volunteers who have been with us since the beginning of Birthright in Salem, and because they fall in love with it, they think they're going to come in and just maybe help out a little bit, and all of a sudden they've been there 10 years. Hmm. They're it's just such a wonderful atmosphere to be in because it's so positive. And so but volunteers to make a commitment to come in is very key, so we can help people when we're open. And if we're not, don't have enough volunteers, then we don't have as many hours to be open. So that, and we do have a lot of people who are wonderful donors. We have people who make little booties. We love to give booties to new moms. Mm-hmm. And but financially, of course, since we are a nonprofit, we do a little bit of fundraising, but we have a core of a of our newsletter supporters. We do a Mother's Day flower sale, and that is supportive for us. So a church that might be interested in participating in our Mother's Day flower sale would be great. Mm-hmm. The more we can do that. We have another fundraiser called Change for Life, mm-hmm. and that's a baby bottles. And the more people that could support us through doing a baby bottle drive or just individuals who would like a bottle to fill with change. And so financially certainly is always appreciated.
What is your volunteer driven and you have a place that so you have the overhead of your operation because you're volunteer driven. What is your annual budget?
It's about $30,000-$35,000. Mm-hmm. We have no salaries, so mm-hmm. It's our just our you know, our social media kinds of things and mm-hmm. our rent.
Hard expenses.
Mm-hmm. That's about all there is because we don't take any other monetary compensation.
Yes. And the interesting thing about that is when you think about 400 people walking in the door and a $30,000 budget, when you think about return on investment, wow, that's incredible. And a lot of people volunteer building blankets and layettes and things.
Yes,
you told me
absolutely.
This incredible story about a woman who's been helping you with coats and hats and things. Talk to us a little bit about that.
She makes these layettes. She's just a fabulous woman whose heart is very much supportive, and she makes quilts, fills them up with goodies, makes these layettes for us. We can add to them, but she makes pretty complete layettes. But she also buys coats, and she bought like 48 coats this year. Mm-hmm. And then she crochets a hat to match each one. So each coat is different, each hat is different. So she buys yarn, a lot of yarn. A variety of yarn. Mm-hmm. And she had a cart full of that at the store as she was purchasing it. And there was a line of people. She was about third in line. And someone behind her said, "What are you doing with all that yarn? It's just such an odd amount of yarn and different colors." And she said, "Well, I make hats and I make layettes for Birthright." And about two people behind her in line she just burst into tears. And she said, she heard the words Birthright and layette, and she just started to cry, and she said, "You make layettes for Birthright?" And she just started to tell her whole story about how she'd come to Birthright, and she'd received a layette, and it made all the difference for her in how she felt about her pregnancy, and it just gave her such a lift that she was crying, and the checkout clerk was passing tissues down mm-hmm. this line of people to the lady behind her who was crying because she'd gotten all this wonderful things from Birthright. And
that's incredible.
It was a great
A rippling effect.
It really is.
And for those of you that don't know, if you're listening, you're like, "I'm not sure what a layette is." Why don't you describe what that is?
That's a good question. But it's just a whole starter kit, basically, mm-hmm. for a baby. So it includes a blanket and lots of sleepers and onesies and bibs and booties and socks and just things that babies need to get a good start in life. We don't want anybody to not have what they need.
Well, and when you think about a lot of these gals and guys that are facing unplanned, unexpected pregnancies, you know, sometimes they don't get baby showers. And so it's good to have these layettes as starter kits when they have their babies. And so we're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. So glad to have you along this morning for the ride. Wanted to give an update from Salvation Army this morning. They are still looking for volunteers to help them with their Toy and Joy drive that they're doing. You can certainly help them by volunteering when they're doing these. It's a few days. It looks like Saturday, December 12th, all the way through December 23rd. They're having these opportunities where the parents come in. Remember when they were here last Tuesday, they were talking about coming in. The parents would come in and they would pick out the gifts for their kids, right, on the tables and things. They need some volunteers. Give Jason a call, 503-798-4800. 76. Continuing the conversation this morning with Terry as we talk about Birthright and their services here in the community. Organization that works with men and women facing unplanned pregnancies. And the mission is clear that we need to do what we can do to fund, keep these organizations on the front lines working with these men and women, because their goal is different than some of the other things that I've been involved with. Like when you talk, we've had Right to Life in here before, and we've had 40 Days of Life in here before, and the Pregnancy Help Center, their focus is meeting the needs of the women, right? Terry, talk to us a little bit about that.
It is. When Birthright was started, Louise Summerhill's our founder, and she came up with the phrase, "It is the right of every pregnant woman to give birth and the right of every child to be born." Mm. And that's how the word birthright came about. And she always, part of it is just that the essence of birthright is love. And that is what we do, is establish relationship with each individual woman. And that one-on-one time, we like to keep track of the time with our clients. Mm-hmm. And the time with that we spend face-to-face with someone. And so it makes us realize that one-on-one FaceTime is the key, mm-hmm. is to establishing that you have intrinsic value and your baby has intrinsic value, and that we will do what we can to support you in making your decisions. But just to be there to listen. I think listening is the real key. Mm. Not for us to have an agenda, but for us to listen to her story and to value her as a person, and not to try to change her, but to see where she is, accept her where she is, and to offer her our love and support. And it just changes. We had a girl one time who was, her face was glued to the floor. Her mm-hmm. eyes were glued to the floor when she walked in. Her mm-hmm. her mother had brought her in. She was young. She was so scared. She didn't know what to do. And our volunteer took her and had the conversation with her and listened to her. And when they came out about 45 minutes later, she was beaming, had some booties in her hand, and was hugging our volunteer, completely transformed just by that love and the care that she felt when she came in.
What is that saying? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Exactly.
And that's what I love about the Pregnancy Center and Help Center movement, is it's an opportunity to connect, to hear from them, to share their heart, to sort out all of that emotion and feelings. And a lot of times it's them doing the talking, you know, and asking a few key questions, there we go, and able to open them up to share and look at it from a helicopter view, right? And not in the middle of all their emotional stuff.
That's right. And not to be telling them what to do. It's so helpful sometimes for someone to come in and it's not their mom or their best mm-hmm. friend or their sister being the one that's telling them what to do. They've had that. When we offer to come in, it's a different voice. It's someone who's able to listen to them and let them talk without any judgment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're completely non-judgmental and accepting of wherever she is. Mm-hmm. And there's times when they are not going to make the choice that we would encourage them to make, or to even to take our offers of support and help. But it doesn't change the fact that they are lovable, and that we welcome anyone to come back. And to just, they know that we're there, and mm-hmm. they will come back. They do come back.
Yeah. Have you ever had a time where someone was in your center where they heard the truth, and then they brought like their boyfriend back to hear the truth too? Do they sometimes do that, or how does that work?
That has happened. Mm-hmm. we like to talk to her first, mm-hmm. and the boyfriends sometimes are there, mm-hmm. and they may want to come in, but we really want to talk to her first,
exactly.
just to be able to just mm-hmm. talk to her without her knowing that he's listening right
mm-hmm.
then. But then we'll invite him to come back,
mm-hmm.
and they're very, that has happened where
yeah.
they come back, even at a later date, they'll yes. bring them back in.
That's so important to the influence, finding out who the influencers are in her decision, whether it be parents or a best friend or, you know, the boyfriend or the husband sometimes as well, you know, depending. And with the economic challenges that we're facing now, you know, families are wondering how they're going to do that, and finding out that
yes.
they're pregnant now, even in a marriage. It's not necessarily those that aren't married. It can be those in a marriage. I've certainly experienced that in my work in the past. Now, if someone was listening today and they're like, I've got a few hours a week, I can volunteer. What is that process? Is there a class? How do they become a volunteer?
They can come into the office, and we have one of our volunteers is our trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like the best way to learn is to be there. We can talk about, we do have, Louise Summerhill wrote a book called The Story of Birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And we hand that out, and we'll just say, read this, and you will know
good.
If this is for you.
For you or not.
And
yeah.
when they come back and they go, wow, that was
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's just an amazing book. Yes. Then we give her to our trainer, and she has a whole process of office procedures but a lot of reading and a lot of experiences, and she learns by being with another volunteer for
mm-hmm.
a long time
right,
before
right.
she's ever going to take a phone call or have her own.
And so your office and your center is located where?
We are on Lancaster, right
okay.
between Market and Sunnyview. We're on Lancaster at 1880,
okay.
Lancaster Northeast.
Excellent. So we're on the same road.
We are.
Yeah. And what's the phone number that if people wanted to call and get involved?
The phone number is 503-585-2273. An easy way to remember that is 585-CARE.
Oh, I love it. 585-CARE, that has a ring to it, and it's true, right?
Yes.
So financial contributions, volunteering, finding out how you could plug in, certainly being aware by telling others that this is an opportunity. Is there a national phone number, too, that if they...
We have a national helpline,
mm-hmm.
and so anywhere in the country, Birthright is available, and 24/7, 365. There is someone at the Birthright Helpline, and that number is 1-800-550-4900. And
fantastic.
There's always a helpful voice there. And
awesome.
If it's someone in our area that's calling, they inform us, and we get back to the person.
And refer them back to you. That's
exactly.
excellent. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together with Terry today. We'll be going into hour two after this. We're going to talk about some statistics on what's happening here in Marion County and statewide when we come back.